Okay, good morning. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Angus of Woodmere. I hope that everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Chag HaShavuos. I think there are lights off in the room, I just realized. Is it too dark or okay? It's fine. Okay, fine. So I hope everyone had a meaningful and uplifting Azma Manton Toroseinu Chag HaShavuos. So we are going to move ahead with our learning. So we are thanking, first of all, Rina and Mark Sokolo and Adina Mishur, Lezecher Nishmas, their parents. Silka Bas Avram Ha'ar and Aaron Ben Yirmiyahu Yoshua Ha'ar Zichron and Levracha. We thank them for their contribution to the Young Israel Vodmer based Medrash program. And may the Neshamos have Aliyos in the Schos of the Torah that we will share this morning. So this week's Parsha is Parshas Naso. There are some major topics in the Parsha and some minor topics in the Parsha. Some of the more major topics in the Parsha are Sota in Parak Hei, the woman who is suspected of being unfaithful to her husband. We have right after Sota the Nazir, because Chazal say that someone who sees the Sota in her disgrace, she stood at Shar Nicanor, which is at the eastern entrance to the Temple Mount. So a lot of people, you know, whoever's coming in and out will see her in her disgrace, should become a Nazir, because wine could bring you to sin. We also have the Birkas Kohanim in this week's Parsha, which is what I want to talk about today. And we also have Perek Zayin is the Chanukas HaNesiyim, the Korbanos that were offered by the tribal princes for the inauguration of the Mishkan, their gifts. It is very repetitive, a lot to learn from that as well. But we are going to be focusing on Birkas Kohanim. So Birkas Kohanim, the first time Aaron actually gave the Birkas Kohanim is back in Parsha Shmini on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Vayi b'yam ha-shmini, but b'yam ha-shmini is really Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, but it just says vayivarchim, and he blessed them without saying what he blessed them. And Rashi tells us he said the Birkas Kohanim, but the text of the Birkas Kohanim is actually not brought down until this week's parasha. And it's just so interesting because of all the rituals of the Kohanim, the only one that has survived is the Birkas Kohanim. So they still do not become Tamei the Mace, and there are still certain restrictions over who a Kohen can marry. But in terms of their actual Avoda, the Beis HaMikdash, of course, lies in ruin. And they cannot serve, but the Birkas Kohanim is something that remains. In Eretz Yisrael, it is given every day. In Chutz La'aretz, by Sfaradim, it is part of the everyday tefillah. By Ashkenazim, it is part of the tefillah, if you will, on the Chagim, on the festivals, on the Yemim Tovim. My daughter told me that she's coming back from Eretz Yisrael next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, for American seminary, but the seminary walks them after the night. They walk very, very early in the morning to the Kotel, but she met up with very, very close family friends, and they told her, Tamar, we have a minion on top, and it's hard to explain where a minion is, but you'll meet us, and we'll all go up together. So she went to Davin with them on one of the rooftops. So when I spoke to her Tuesday, I said, how was Yantav? She was telling me about Yantav, and she said about that minion, the Davin, they're davening very, very early in the morning. By night, she says, the sun is rising, and she said, we're looking on to Har Habayi. She says, I'm saying Musaf, and we talk about Mipnecha Ta'inu Galinu Me'atzeinu V'nisrachaknu Me'ald Maseinu. We talk about what we bring on Chag HaBikurim, what we bring on Shavuos, the Karbanos of the day. The Musaf says, I'm davening Musaf, looking on to Har Habayi. She said, when you stand at the Kotel, you just see the stones, but she said, we were on top. I'm not sure exactly where the rooftop was, looking down. I said, how is it? She says, it is impossible to describe. She said it was impossible to describe. So you're looking onto the place where you have duchen, right? So they must have had in the minyan a duchen, and you're looking onto our bais while the kohanim are giving you the birkas kohanim standing there. So of all the rituals that have unfortunately been lost, and the service that has been lost because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, this has survived the test of time. And the Psukim you are all very familiar with, it was just Yom Tov, we all, whether in Chutz La'aretz or in Eretz Yisrael, Ashkenazim or Sfaradim, we all received the Birkas Kohanim. It's right at the end of Perek Vav in Parshas Bamidbar. So the Psukim tell us in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Beis, and again, I believe that you all know these Psukim, off by heart. Vayedaber Shama Moshe Lemar. God spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber al Aaron ve'al banav lemor. You should speak to Aaron and his son, saying, Kosevarchu es b'nei Yisrael. So you shall bless the b'nei Yisrael. Amar lahem, you shall say to them. So it's also part of the Birkas HaShachar. I said it this morning. Okay, la'asok b'divrei sora v'harev. Now we also say the Birkas Kohanim. Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you and guard you. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'chunecha. Ya'er from or. Hashem should shine shine the light of his face, kavi achal upon you and grant you chayin, grace, yisa Hashem panav eilech, Hashem should lift up his face towards you, v'yasim lecha shalom, and he shall grant you peace, v'samu ha-shemi al b'nei Yisrael, and I will place my name upon the children of Israel, v'ani avarchem, and I will bless them. So, it is psukim we are all familiar with, and it is a ritual that has survived till today. I'm just going to quote Rav Rashi says on these psukim, again, it's Perek Vav of Bamidbar Psukim Chaf Beis through Chaf Zayin for your reference. Okay, let's just talk about what Rashi says before we move into our insights. Okay, so Kosevarchos B'nei Yisrael, so you shall bless the children of Israel. Amar Lahem, you shall say to them. So Rashi says like Zachar, Shamar, Amar. It's a command of that context. Zachar, Shamar, Shabbos, Kachel, Shamar, Shamar, Shabbos, Kachel, an ongoing remembrance, an ongoing guarding. And so therefore, Amar Lahem is an ongoing statement that the Kohanim should be blessing Knesset Yisrael. Furthermore, Amar Lahem, Shiyu Kulam Shomim, everyone has to hear. Amar Lahem means at the time of the Birkas Kohanim, Shiyu Kulam Shomim, when you speak it Lahem to them, they have to hear in order to receive it. Furthermore, Amar is written Malay with a Vav. If you look in the Pasuk, it's not Aleph Mem Reish, it's Aleph Mem Vav Reish, so it could either be written Chaser or Malay. So why is it written Malay? Lo Tivarchim Bechi Pazanu Bebehilus, Ela Bekavana Ubelev Sham. On this Chumash, it's page 762. If you're interested, I'm on page 762 with the Rashis, okay? So you should not bless them b'chipazon and b'behilu. That describes how we left Egypt, b'chipazon and b'behilu. The Kohanim should not bless them b'chipazon in a rush. They should not bless them in a haste. Ela b'kavana u'belev shalem. You should have the proper intention when you're blessing Knesset Yisrael with a full heart. That's why Amar is written Malay, to show that the Kohanim should have a lev shalem, a Malay heart when they are blessing the people. Hey, Yivarach Hashem v'yishmerecha. So what is this blessing? Yivarach Hashem yisparchu nechasecha. This is a blessing that your possessions shall be blessed. Okay, we're going to be talking about it, but this is the first blessing. It's a blessing for material goods and material wealth. So yisparchu nechasecha, your possessions shall be blessed. So why do you need v'yishmerecha? If you have Yivarach Hashem, Hashem will bless you. So why do you need? And he will guard you. It's enough that he should bless you. No? What's the he will guard you? Shalo yavo alecha shodadim li Hashem will bless your possessions, but now the Yishmerecha is guard duty. He will watch that robbers, bandits do not come to steal your property. If I give you a gift, it's out of my jurisdiction. I can't do anything. If you lose it, if you give it away, if you ruin it, if you're careless with it, if robbers, chalida v'chas, come and take it from you, I can't do anything about it. Once I transfer from me to you, it has nothing to do with me anymore. It's not under my jurisdiction, not the Ribbono. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the gift, but he also guards it that the gift should not be lost from us. So he makes sure that robbers will not come and take it, and that is Yishmeracha. So he gives the gift, and then he does guard duty, so to speak. The Kaven Shabaim Listim Allah Vinotim Oso Mimenu Mahana Yeshlo B'Matanazu. When a Basar V'Dam gives a gift, so I gave you a gift, but a robbers come and robbers steal your gift, what pleasure do you have in the gift? You have no pleasure in the gift. Aval Kosh Baruch Hu, who had no saying who Hashem. Rash is quoting Medrash Tanchuma. Aval Kosh Baruch Hu is the giver, and he's also the watchguard. And therefore, that is v'yivarechacha, your possession shall be blessed. Yishmerecha, he will guard that they shall not be lost. Ya'er, so Pasuk Chav Dalet is a blessing in Gashmios, like we just saw, physical possessions, physical needs. What is the next pasuk? Ya'er Hashem panav eilech avichu necha. Hashem should shine the light of his face upon you and grant you, endow you with grace. So we know that Torah is or, ner mitzvah v'torah or. So when it talks about Hashem, Ya'er Hashem panav, Hashem should shine the light of his face. This is a blessing in ruchnias. This is a blessing for an increase in Torah, in ruchnias, in spiritual matters. Yira lecha panim sochakos panim tzuhubos. Rashi says he should show you a smile, smiling face, a shining face. V'chunaka, Hashem should grant you chayin. He should grant you grace. And finally, Yisa Hashem panavelecha, Hashem should lift up his face towards you. What does Rashi say, quoting the Sifri? Yichbosh ka'aso. He should conquer his anger against you. V'yasem lecha shalom, and he will grant you peace, which Rashi does not even comment on because it's pretty self-explanatory. V'samashmi abnei Yisrael yivarchum b'shem ha'mefo'rash. So Rashi says, what does it mean? I will place my name upon the children of Israel. Rashi says, the Kohanim must bless with the Shem HaMeforash, the explicit divine name, V'ani Avarchem L'Yisrael. I will bless Israel. Va'askim imakonim. I will give my eskama to the Kohanim. But we have to understand that Hashem is the source of the blessing. The Kohanim themselves are the conduit through which the blessing flows. But the source of the blessing is the Ribon Sholom, not the Kohen. Davar achar v'ani avarchim the Kohanim. Another thing is either one, ani avarchim, I'm the one blessing Knesset Yisrael. The Kohanim are just the conduit through which the blessing flows. I am blessing Knesset Yisrael. Another matter, ani avarchim, I will bless them, which is that Hashem will bless the Kohanim for fulfilling their duty. I will bless the Kohanim. So these are the psukim with all the Rashis on this ancient blessing. I'm going to start with something that I was so excited to find, because I'll tell you after why I was so excited to find it. I'm quoting from Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs in a little piece of history, archaeology. So it's from the Sefer Covenant and Conversation Numbers. Okay, Rabbi Sachs, on Parsha in the Book of Bamidbar. This is a little bit of archaeological find / history. And after I read it, I'll tell you why. When I was preparing this year, I was so excited. Listen carefully. In 1979, in Ketef Hinnom, a group of archaeologists under the direction of Gabriel Barkay were exploring an ancient burial site southwest of the old city of Jerusalem, in the area now occupied by the Menachem Begin Heritage Center. At first, the caverns and burial chambers seemed to be bereft of objects of interest. So they found these burial chambers, they found these caverns, but it seemed like they were empty. There was nothing in them. But there was a persistent 13-year-old boy who was helping the team, and he discovered beneath the floor of one of the caves was a hidden chamber. In this hidden chamber, the group found almost 1,000 ancient artifacts, including two teeny silver scrolls, no more than an inch long. Just imagine this. They were so fragile, these teeny scrolls, no more than an inch long, that it took the team 3 years to work out a way of unrolling them without causing the scrolls to disintegrate. Eventually, it doesn't say how they found them or how they opened them, the scrolls turned out to be amulets. It was a kamea, an amulet, containing, among other passages, the Birkat Kohanim, the priestly blessings. Scientifically, they dated to the early 6th century before the Common Era. They come from the time of the prophet Yirmiyahu, just prior to Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first temple built by King Solomon. So ancient are they. They are written not in the Hebrew alphabet we recognize today, which dates from the Babylonian exile, but rather an ancient Paleo-Hebrew script, a direct descendant of the first alphabet known to humankind, older by far than most ancient biblical texts known today, including the Dead Sea Scrolls. The amulets can be seen in the Israel Museum, testimony to the ancient connection of Jews to our land and the continuity of Jewish faith itself. I was so excited when I was preparing this year because I, in Adar Bet, some of you have used my tour guide, Ezra Rosenfeld, many of you have reached out to me, gave you his name, before Shavuos. One friend spent a whole day with him, and then the next day I get another message from another friend. We just spent a whole day with Ezra Rosenfeld. He used to be the head of Tzomet, and then he became a tour guide. He retired from Tzomet, and this is his second profession. And we were supposed to do a walking tour of the old city, but the weather was not conducive. It was March. It was Adar Bet. So he suggested we do the archaeological wing of the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. He said it is unparalleled in terms of some of the artifacts. I saw this. I have it on my phone. Before I found this piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs. In fact, earlier in the week, I was giving a lecture and I told them about it. I said, when I was in Jerusalem and Adar Bet, and that was before I found this piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan. I have it on my phone. I saw. You can see the teeny amulet. They've recreated. If you're in Israel, you must go. Going to the Israel Museum Archaeological Wing with a tour guide is not the same as going yourself, which I didn't know before I did that. They've recreated the burial tomb as they excavated it, as they found it. They've recreated it with the artifacts that they found inside, and the amulet is there. You can go and you can see it today. It dates back to the time period of Bayis Rishon. It is not even the Hebrew alphabet as we know today. And what is inscribed? The priestly blessings. There is something, if anyone sees the picture, I'm happy to share with you. There is almost something poetic in the fact, I'm continuing with Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, he doesn't write in here, Michal Horowitz visited there. There is something almost poetic in the fact that it should have been this text that survived. It is among the oldest of our prayers, yet we still recite it daily. It was used by the priests in the temple. It is said today by the priest in the reader's repetition of the Amidah in Israel every day, in most of the diaspora, only on the festivals. It is used by parents when they bless their children on Friday night. It is often said to the bride and groom under the chuppah. It is amongst the shortest of blessings, a mere 15 words long, but it is marked by beauty and simplicity. Here is how the Torah sets them out. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. So I began with Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs. Blinator, I'm going to conclude with Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs. But that was just a fascinating piece of history that I was very excited because I mamish stood there this past March, and if you go there, you can see it. And of all the things that was written in this burial tomb, in this burial chamber, what did they include? A little amulet, a kameya with the Birkas Kohanim. Just amazing. Okay, I am now quoting from Short and Sweet on the Parsha by Shlomo Zalman Bregman. He points out something very, very beautiful in his Sefer on Birkas Kohanim. So today, all insights are going to be related to, this is our topic of our Shia, Birkas Kohanim. This is fascinating. Here we go. Blessing, berach, bracha. It is a term that is commonly bandied about, but it is poorly understood. It's true. It's my Hebrew birthday, not me. But I'm just saying, it's my Hebrew birthday. I'm going to give you a bracha. We're constantly giving people brachos. In fact, Rabbi Akiva Willig, our Rav, my husband pointed out, he says, my tefillah for you is, which is very, very interesting, as opposed to saying my bracha. So it is a term that is commonly thrown about, but it is poorly understood. It is worth pausing to examine Kosev Varchu Eskmanei. So obviously this is a divine blessing. So this is the, and I know Alti Birkas Hejo Kal Behinecha, but still, so we're constantly going, myself also, constantly going around giving brachos. This is divine. This is not the same as a Birkas Hejo at all. Okay? What exactly is a bracha, and what does it mean to bless somebody else? He quotes the Maharal, who explains that the essence of the bracha is the idea of to increase, ribui. Beis, reish, chaf is the root. Beirach. So he explains that it's ribui, to increase, like from rov. Okay? Chaf and beis are closely related. That's what the Maharal explains. He gives a quote from where the Maharal can be found. The essence of the bracha is the idea of to increase. Even when you think of a brecha, a pool of water, there is always an increase in a natural spring of water. For example, in Sefer Shemos, he shall increase your bread and your water. Uvei rach, eslachmecha ve'estmeimecha. So he will increase. Now, what is truly astonishing, so that's the idea of a bracha. When you give somebody a bracha, what you're really saying is that the blessings you currently have should increase. What is truly astonishing, and this is the part that I really loved, is that the essence of a blessing entails, what the blessing entails, which is this idea of increasing, ribui, is contained within the very structure of the root of the word. So you know, by now we all know, that Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaTorah, I'm not talking about modern day Hebrew, but Lashon HaTorah contains so many lessons within every letter and within every word and within every shoresh. Each of the letters of the root, so Beis, Reish, Chaf, is an increase, because each letter is a doubling of the numeric value of that which precedes it. Beis, the first letter of the word, with a gematria of 2, is a doubling of what comes before it, 1. The same applies for the next letter is Reish. What's Reish? Kuf is 100. Reish is 200. It is double the letter that precedes it, with Kuf being 100. Astonishingly, the same applies for Chaf. Chaf is 20. It is double 10. So it's a beautiful. Do you? I don't have a black. What?
They're all twos.
Yes. Yes. So therefore?
Double.
Right. That's exactly his point.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's 2, 20, and 200. They're all multiples of 2, which is significant of double also.
That's what I'm not explaining. Well, you're explaining better than me. Am I not saying the right
thing? Digit 2.
Yeah, because it represents a doubling. I'm not understanding.
Oh, I thought you were saying that it was double of the one preceding, which could be anything.
Right.
Could be... Four.
Okay, I'm going back. I'm reading from the Sefer because I'm afraid we're going to get too off topic, and I have a lot of insights to share with you. Okay. Astonishingly, this also applies for Chaf, the gematria of 20, which is double the letter that precedes it, which is 10, which is Yud. Exactly right. So you have Aleph to Bet. We go from 1 to 2. You go from Yud to Chaf. 10 doubled is 20. Kuf to Reish, 100 to 200. So it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how embedded in every letter in Lashon HaKodesh is a whole secret, a whole remez. So the word itself teaches you, like the Maharal says, that the point is that you want the blessings that you have to increase and to double. Taken all together, we discover that the actual root word of bracha connotes taking what is already there and bringing an increase of what you have. This also encapsulates the idea of what it means to give somebody else a bracha, he writes, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman. When we give our fellow Jew a blessing, a bracha, we express our hope that the Ribbono Shel, who is the source of everything, and it's really, 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 really important to remember how the end of the Birkas Kohanim ends, which is V'samu Eshemi al b'nei Yisrael, V'ani avarchem. Okay? And you just have to be really careful. When you daven by Kivrei Tzadikim, you can't daven to that tzaddik to give you Yeshua. The tzaddik is not the source of the Yeshua. He should be a melit yosher for you before the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he himself is not the source of Yeshua. The Kohen himself is not the source of the blessing. Hashem chose this tribe. They didn't sin by Chet HaEgel. They're instead of Bechor. They themselves are not the source of the blessing. When you give someone a bracha, I don't have any power. When somebody goes to the Gadol, they might have a closer connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tzadik goes there, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Anyone who thinks, I'm sorry to say, that the key in the challah is going to be the source of your blessing, so you have a big problem. No, I'm really not making a joke. If you want to do it and you discuss it with your rabbi, that's a different shayla. I do not do it b'shita, but if you think that it's the key that's going to give you bracha, that's borderline of Odeh Zarah. You just have to be extremely careful with rituals, that rituals do not take the place of Avodas Hashem. Okay, it's very, very important. I'll tell you something very interesting. For example, we were away for Yom Tov on the tremendous Yishuvos Ritz Yarchei Kala, where besides the Divrei Torah, the food was out of this world, mamish out of this world. So the whole program was phenomenal. So it's very, very interesting because Rav Herschel Shachter Shlita is on the program, and just such a schus to spend a Yom Tov in his presence. So I realized when I went upstairs to the room, my husband said to me before we went, should we pack the nightlight? So I said, no, it's Yeshiva University. The Rosh Yeshiva is going to be there. Everyone's going to need a nightlight for candlelight. Not just me. We don't need to take the nightlight. So 1 year, because they gave us a nightlight in the bag, they gave us liquid soap and a nightlight. This year we got licorice and peanut chews, which were very good. But I said, I'd rather have the nightlight and liquid soap. So there was no nightlight. So I didn't know what to do. So I was texting with Rabbi Shai Shachter. So he says, is there any light in the room that's not LED? So I said, no. So I said, what should I do? So he says, my father, Shlita, would say that lighting in the hallway is a bracha levatala. You can't light in the hallway. So Baruch Hashem, my husband, the Savior, got a nightlight from the front desk. He also got one from Adina Penner, and she gave one to her daughter. So we were able to light the nightlight in the bathroom and then, of course, make the bracha outside the bathroom, L'adik Ner Shel Shabbos. But interestingly, the second night, the first night of Chag, on the second night of Chag, I did not light candles at all. Okay, I asked the Rabbitson Shachter, so what do I do? I said, I had a nightlight for the first night, but what should I do now? So she says, my husband says, you don't light at all. Bracha levatala, you're not increasing the R. There's all the candles on the table, and it's you're not doing anything. So I actually did not light Yom Tov. She actually told me something interesting, which I didn't know. When she's at home, the second night of Yom Tov, she herself actually does not light. She's Makabel Yom Tov by Kiddush, because it is, and if you, she says to me, the woman thinks they know better, they could look in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't listen to my husband when he gives a shiur. Let them give the next shiur, she said. So I did not lie on the second night or the third night. But what I want to say is that you have to be so careful with halacha that ritual does not overtake halacha. And I want you to know something. I didn't only see this on the Yeshivus Ritziar Chaykala program, which was off the charts phenomenal, but we were for Kibbutz Lavi, for Pasach, we were in Kibbutz Lavi Baruch Hashem. I saw the same thing in Kibbutz Lavi. So they come to light candles in the hallway, okay, which according to Rav Heschel Schachter, who's sourced in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a bracha levatal, you consult with your own rabbi, fine, that's you consult with your own rav. But I saw people, what do they do after they light? They shake out and they blow out the match. I saw it in two hotels, on two chagim, back-to-back chagim. So this is a case where your ritual, which is not even halacha, which is, according to many poskim, a bracha levatala, is so important for you to have the ritual of lighting candles that you're now over the doraisa of blowing out the match. Totally usher. Totally mechalo yom tov. You're not a, take the match. I saw it in two places. Now, obviously, people don't know. And obviously, they're not aware. And nobody's trying to be mechalo Shabbos or chag. But the point is that sometimes ritual becomes confused with halacha. So not only are you putting weight on the ritual, but now what you're doing is trampling the halacha. We need to be so careful. How does this all tie into Birkas Kohanim? Va'ani avarchim, v'samu es shemiya b'ni Yisrael v'ani arachim. Candle lighting cannot become avodah zara. Rabbi Zev Lev speaks about this. He said that he had someone, when I was a Rav in Miami, that's where he starts those stories. I always smile when he says that. And I've heard him tell the story multiple times. There was a certain individual, the wife called him, and she said, Rabbi, you have to help me. The doctor said, my husband is not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. But my husband said, I have fasted every year since my bar mitzvah. I'm fasting now. So Rabbi Zavlov spoke to the doctor, and the doctor explained, Rabbi, if this person fasts, he's going to put himself at grave risk. This is the condition. These are the medicines he takes. He needs to eat three meals a day. So Rabbi Zavlov said, maybe this rabbi's not religious. So maybe he thinks that Mishagoyim, everyone who fasts for 26 hours, he tells every patient they have to eat. So he called a frum doctor, and he said to the frum doctor, if you had a patient with this condition, what would you tell them to do? Explained exactly what the other rabbi said with leaving the person's name anonymous. And the firm doctor said, I would tell them they need to eat three meals a day, otherwise they put their life at risk. And pikuach nefesh is docha kol. So Rabbi Zavlev called the man. He said, listen, you have to eat on Yom Kippur. So the man said, Rabbi, don't tell me what to do. I have fasted every year since my bar mitzvah. I'm not starting to eat now. So he says, listen, I spoke to your wife. I spoke to your doctor. I spoke to an observant from doctor. Everyone agrees I have to eat three meals a day. So the man said, I am fasting on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Zavlev said to him, if you fast on Yom Kippur, you will never get another kibbutz or aliyah in our shul. So the man said, what? So he says, listen, we give aliyahs to a lot of people. We even give aliyahs to people who are mechal Shabbos and drive here on Shabbos. I'm not quoting any halacha, I'm telling a good story. But we have never given an aliyah to an oved of Avodah Zarah. And you, if you fast on Yom Kippur, are an oved of Avodah Zarah. So the man said, an oved of Avodah Zarah. He says, yes, I don't care if your God is the Zeus God, or the Jupiter God, or the Yom Kippur God. But our God says, you need to eat on Yom Kippur. And if you fast, you're being an Oved of Avodah Zarah to the Yom Kippur God. So he says, P.S., the man ate on Yom Kippur. Apparently his kibbudim, he says, were very important to him. So you have to know, I think a very misoverlooked part of the Birkas Kohanim is the very last pasuk, and we already quoted Rashi. V'samu es shemi abnei Yisrael va'ani avarchi. The person is a conduit for the blessing of God. When we put too much faith in the person himself, it's a basar v'dam. God gave him an important tafkid. God gave each of you also an important tafkid. The tzaddik is not the source of the blessing. Tzaddik goes around Kodesh Baruch. He ran to the ends of the earth, finding a bracha from a tzaddik. He could daven for you maybe, but he's not giving the Yeshua. Hashem is the Paul Yeshuos. And the key in the challah, Hashem Yerachim Aleinu. If you think that key's giving you parnasa, you really have a problem. That's the key of Avodah Zarah, just like the Yom Kippur of Avodah Zarah. And if candle lighting is so important to you that you're willing to make a bracha levatala when it's not even warranted, after Rav Heschel Schachter says, Kol Shulchan Aruch, it's not shaykh, you don't do it. And then not only that, but you mamish blow out. I saw it in two hotels. I understand they didn't know. I understand no one's doing it on purpose, but we have to make sure that we don't put our trust al tivtuchum bin divim bevein adam she'ein lo seshua teitzei rucho yashuv ad masho ani avarchim. Ribono Shalom is the source of all blessings, and even when we give somebody else a bracha, and I do it also, I say abichus yamim ben shanim, now I bless people, and it's true, you should have one of the most important things, menuchas hanafash, and health to enjoy all your brachos, but you are a conduit. Don't put so much trust in rituals or people or things that you lose sight of the source of the blessing. And beirach, what you're asking God is to double. And I think it's gevaldik. Beis is double of what comes before. Chaf is double of what comes before. And reish is double of what comes before. When we give our fellow Jew a bracha, concludes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman, we express our hope that Hashem, who is the source of everything, okay, that was a point of our departure for our what we just spoke about hashkafically, well, take what he has already given to this individual and give them more. So I thought that that was a very, very beautiful idea. Now I go to the Sefer Parparas Torah. So this is funny. When I was preparing the Shir, I already wrote this in the Shir. And then I found it in the Sefer. I originally heard this from Rabbi Zev Lef. I even quoted him on Shavuos. Okay? Chani, I think you're in the Shir. Noan 50, yeah? So, it's very interesting. I heard Rabbi Zev Lef say it, but I actually, when I was preparing the Shir, Parpasa Torah is a Hebrew language sefer on Chumash, on the Chamisha Chimshei Torah, and I really love this. So if you look in your Chumash, please, okay? By the way, so it's not originally Rabbi Zev Lef, it's Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher who teaches this, okay? So if you look at, if you have a chumash, if not, you could just listen. Yivarachacha Hashem v'yishmeracha is the first blessing. Remember, we said that's a blessing for Gashmis. Yivarchu nechasecha. Yeah? I mean, that's not me saying, that's Rashi. And then v'yishmeracha is Hashem will guard your possessions. Robbers won't come and steal them, which a baser v'dam can't do. The next blessing, so yivarachacha Hashem v'yishmeracha is three words. Okay? It's page 762 in Archa Mashem. Then, Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha Vichugneka is five words. And furthermore, that's a blessing for Ruchnias. Hashem's face, the light of his face, is Torah. Ne'er Mitzvah V'Torah Or, Ya'er Hashem. Finally, the last blessing, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom, is seven words. And what is the last blessing? Says Rabbi Zev Lef, the last blessing is a combination of Gashvis and Ruchnias. Right? Because we need, listen, you can't ask Hashem, we don't only daven for blessings in Ruchnius. Of course we want our Torah knowledge and our connection to God and our Havas HaMitzvos to increase. But we are Basar V'dam. We need Kamach and Torah. We need to be spiritually healthy and growing, but we also need to be physically healthy. We need both aspects of ourselves. So this is very, very interesting. So again, the first blessing, three words, Gashmius. The second blessing, five words, Ruchnius. The third blessing, seven words, compilation of Ruchnius and Gashmius all together. So Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Asher teaches as follows. Okay? Quoting Maseches Megillah, I'm quoting the Sefer Parparas Torah. During the week, right, which I would venture to say, I don't know, I'm not making assumptions about anybody. Yeah, I guess I am. I'd venture to say that we are not, as women, usually in shul during the week for Shachas. Maybe some of you are, Kol Kavod, I definitely am not. The Kriyas HaTorah of the weekday has three aliyos. Okay? On Yom Tov, the Kriyas HaTorah, which we just had, has five aliyos. And on Shabbos, the Kriyas HaTorah has seven aliyos. This is quoting from Maseches Megillah. This is alluded to in these three psukim of Birkas Kohanim. Yivarachacha has three words, which corresponds to Keneged Shloshas Hakruim Biyamos Hachol. Yivarach has three words, which corresponds to the three weekday aliyos. Ya'er Chamesh Milim Keneged Chameshas Hakruim Biyom Tov. Five words of Ya'er corresponding to the five aliyos of leining, Torah reading on Yom Tov. And finally, Yisa, Sheva Milim, Keneged Shiva Sekruim B'Shavas, corresponding to the seven aliyos. So three words, three aliyos, weekday. Five words, five aliyos, Yom Tov. Seven words, seven aliyos, Shabbos. That's all the Sefer says in the name of Rabbeinu Bechai ben Asher. But what's the pshat? That's from Parsha Torah. So Rabbi Zev Lef explains the pshat very beautifully. Remember the first blessing, Yisbarchu Nechasecha, your possession should be blessed. What are we busy with the whole week? Making parnasa, going to the fields, farming, weeding, gathering, grinding, milling, going to the market, selling our wares. The whole week, what are we busy with? Procuring gashmius, you need to live. What does the pasuk say? It's a command. It's in the Aseres HaDibros, which we just read on the first day of Shavuos. Sheishes yamim ta'avod, perachof, pasuk tes of Shemos. Sheishes yamim ta'avod, asisa kamech techa. Just like you're commanded, Zachar, Shem, Shabbos, the Kacho, the very next pasuk is, Sheishes yamim ta'avod, it's an imperative. For 6 days, you must work. Valsisa kamalach techa. And Rashi says there, kishatavo Shabbos ye beinecha kilu kamalach techa sui. When Shabbos comes, it should be as if all your work is done. Because how could the pasuk say valsisa kamalach techa? Could you finish everything you have to do in 6 weeks, in 6 days, or in 6 weeks? No. There's always more to do. But when Shabbos comes, it should be as if you finished all your work. Shalom tahara achamalacha. Shabbos is a day of shavisa, cessation. But during the 6 days of the week, the Torah commands you to work. So what are we doing during the 6 days of the week? Yemos HaChol. We're working to procure gashmis. Okay, I don't mean fancy things and going on a yah. I mean gashmis like physicality. Clothing, parnasa, food, going to the supermarket, which I'm doing after the shiur, cooking for Shabbos. So during the week, when you're busy with gashmis, the first blessing, Yivarech Hashem V'Yishmerecha, which contains three words, is the blessing of Gashmias. That is indicated by the three aliyos during the week. First blessing, three words, 3 weekday aliyos during the week. And in this first blessing, the topic is Gashmias. Yisbarchu Nechasecha. We're working to procure material goods to survive. That's indicated by the three words of the first blessing. Now, the second blessing we said is Ruchnias. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha vichunecha. He should shine the light of his face upon you. This is the blessing for Ruchnias. Ruchnias, five words, five aliyos corresponding to Yom Tov. Now, why is Yom Tov kulo Ruchnias? Yom Tov is kulo Ruchnias because Yom Tov really, not today, when we are mipnecha ta'inu galinu me'artzenu, but it used to be in temple times that the people would be olo l'rego. You would leave all your worldly possession behind. You will go up to the house of Hashem. The house of Hashem is a kulo Ruchnias experience. I'm going to quote Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. Okay, we have an imperative. You shall rejoice before Hashem your God. The imperative of Simchas Yom Tov, what does it come from? It comes from the Korban Chagiga, but it also comes from being before Hashem. The phrase suggests, says Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik the Rav, that when one is in the presence of God, there is joy. So what does Simchas Yom Tov come from? Being in the presence of God. When you are in the presence of God, there is joy. God's presence must be a constant experience in our lives. Though we can neither see him nor hear him, each Jew must experience the presence of God. A Jew is required to develop the ability to feel closeness to God, to feel his breath on one's face, to see him in every phenomenon, in historical events and in the majesty of nature. One must perceive God not only in the miraculous, but in the natural phenomena. And in particular, we must perceive God in our own destiny. The sensation of experiencing that one is lifnei Hashem is a halachic imperative. Prayer, for example, requires more than intent. It's not only to have kavana. You must feel, a person must feel they are in the immediate proximity of the Ribono Shel Olam. Very big challenge. There is no greater joy in life than sensing that one is lifnei Hashem. Joy is what we feel when we are close to our origin, close to our creator. You are aware that someone guides you and cares for you. Lifnei Hashem can be enhanced through the experience of studying Torah. The survival of Jews throughout the generations and persecution and abuse is due to the sublime experience of being in his presence. What does this all have to do with Yom Tov? Rav Salvechik points out that when it comes to Yomim Tovim, what's the halacha? What happens to Hilchos Avelos? What happens to the period of sitting Shiva? Oh, Yom Tov cuts it off, but not so with Shabbos. Oh, Because what's the difference? On Yom Tov, you go up to Hashem's house. The joy is so intense, it's like you leave everything worldly behind, and the joy of being in God's house cancels out all mourning, all avelus, all sadness. On Shabbos, you do not go to Hashem's house. On Shabbos, the Jew sits in his own house. And in fact, there's no mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. There's no mitzvah of Simchas Shabbos. There is an explicit mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, but there's no mitzvah of Simchas Shabbos. So Shabbos does not cancel Avelus. The mourner gets up Lolenu in the afternoon, and he resumes sitting Shiva when? On Motzei Shabbos. But when it comes to Yom Tov, if the Nifter passes away the night before that morning, there's an hour and a half of Shiva, and that's it. Why? Because you are Lifnei Hashem. And when one is Lifnei Hashem on Yomim Tovim, you leave everything of this world behind, and you're so basked in the divine presence, there can't be any sadness. On a festival, says the Rav, all of Israel stands before God. And the festival's importance is identified with a man rejoicing before his Creator. The joy is an emotional expression of the human experience of standing before God. My daughter said, it's impossible to describe that Musaf Mami. She says, the sun is rising, I'm looking onto Har Habayis. So if that's how we feel, Rachmana Litzlan, when the temple lies in ruins, B'chorbana, who knows the joy of what it was like when it was B'binyana, the joy of standing before Hashem. So Yom Tov, therefore, with the imperative of Simchas Yom Tov, which derives from the Korban Chagiga and being in Hashem's house, is Kula Rachnias. You left your house. That symbolizes leaving everything behind. Even the Bikurim you bring up with you have the status of Kedusha and Rachnias because you give the Bikurim to the Kohen. It becomes part of the Avoda of the Mikdash. And therefore, the appearance before God, says the Rav, annuls the mourning. Because mourning, M-O-U-R-N, avelus, and standing before God are mutually exclusive. If a person comes before the Ribono Shel Olam, it's kulo simcha. Kulo simcha. And that's Yom Tov. So going back to the Birkas Kohanim, five words in the second blessing, Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha V'chunecha. Those five words are bracha for spirituality, Ruchnias. What does that correspond to? Which time period of the year? You're not Yemos Achol, not Shabbos, which we're still going to talk about. What does it correspond to? Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is kulo Ruchnias, because really the way we celebrate the Chagim today is not how it was in temple times. We would have left our homes and we would have brought special korbanos and the Musaf offering. We would have all bid Lifnei Hashem. That's the greatest source of simcha. So the second blessing, five words corresponding to Ruchnias, five aliyos corresponding to the Yamim Tovim. Beautiful. Now we come to the final. Okay? Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. Seven words. Well, if we had the Yemos HaChol and the three Aliyos and the Gashmis and the first blessing, and we had the Yemos HaChagim, if you could call it that, the period of the festivals with its Kula Ruchnias, as we've explained, based on a piece by the Rav, and its five words and five Aliyos, so what time period of the year is left? Well, we already did the Yemos HaChol by process of elimination, and we already did the Chagim, so what is left is Shabbos. And this one's the easiest, because Shabbos is 7 days. There are seven words in this blessing. Seven words, 7 days of the week. Shabbos has seven aliyos. So if the first is Yemos HaChol Gashmias, and the second is the Chagim, although the regular Ruchnias, then Shabbos is a compilation of Ruchnias and Gashmias. Shabbos comes at the conclusion of the preceding week, and it is also the precursor to the coming week. It is not a day that is kulo ruchnias, and like we said, there's no mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos. There's Inyan, and the Rambam speaks about a Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, but there's no mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos. I read something amazing over Yom Tov that, you know, my fascination with Shel Rashkim in the Torah, also from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, and some talking about Simcha. I just found this to be amazing. I didn't have time to look into it further. It's just on the side, because I just learned it over the Chag, and I think it's incredible. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs points out that the word sambeach, the root word for simcha, sin mem ches, yeah, occurs only one time in all of Sefer Bereishis. I've not had 1 minute even, I didn't have time on Shavuos, I don't have time now, since I came home, but I'm still, Bezor Hashem, I'm going to look it up. It occurs only one time in Sefer Bereishis. only one time in Shemos, only one time in Vayikra, and only one time in Bamidbar. And it occurs 12 times in the entire Sefer Devarim. Now, we know nothing in the Torah is an accident, so I found this idea amazing. Sameach occurs only once in all of Bereishis, once. All of Shemos, once. All of Vayikra, once. And all of Bamidbar, only once. But in Devarim, it occurs 12 times. It's an amazing idea. Why? So Rabbi Dor Jonathan Sachs explains as follows. Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar are the journey that began with Avram Avinu. Okay? He began the journey of leaving Chutz La'aretz, where Kastim, and then Haran, and journeying to the Holy Land. And the whole time, Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar are all continuation, continuity, a continuation of that journey. But Devarim speaks much about being in Eretz Yisrael. Even though Moshe is not going, he describes what will happen when we are in Eretz Yisrael. The process of Bikurim is in Parachah Vav, the beautiful Parachas that describes the bounty, the Shivat HaMinim, Birkat HaMazon, of Eretz Yisrael. Som Tassim Lecha Melach, the Arei Mikla, a lot of Sefer Devarim is about Eretz Yisrael itself. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs says, Devarim is the realization of Avram Avinu's beginning of his journey. It doesn't come to fruition, so to speak, even though they don't cross to Sefer Yehoshua, doesn't come to fruition until the ideals and the ideas and mitzvos of Devarim, which describes Eretz Yisrael. Once again, reiteration that the true Simcha only occurs where? In Eretz Yisrael. When I told my husband this insight, we were talking, we both said the same thing, which some of you may have been thinking already as well. Why 12? So we both said sort of simultaneously, of course, what comes to mind when we come to talk about 12 is the Shvatim. So of course, nothing in the Torah is an accident. So perhaps 12 times in the book of Devarim, one time of Simcha, one measure of Simcha for each Sheva, that would cross and inherit and take possession and conquer, not in that order, the land of Eretz Yisrael. So I thought that was an amazing idea, which once again reminds us that true Simcha only occurs in Eretz Yisrael, which really relates back to the five Aliyos, five words, because when is there Simchas Yom Tov? When you are Lefnei Hashem. When are you truly Lefnei Hashem? Not in Woodmere. Yes, I know you can be, and it's you could, and we could be good Jews, and we try to be good Jews, but truly the Fnei Hashem is when we are Zocha to be Ola L'Regal in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the truest Simcha. So going back to Shabbos, okay, we do not have a mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos. There is no imperative of V'samachta V'chagecha V'yisa Ach Samech, like we have in Parshas Re'ev Devarim, to be Simcha Dik B'Yom Tov. We don't have that on Shabbos. Because we're not kulo lefnei Hashem. You don't go to Hashem's house on Yom Tov. You stay in your own house. Soloveitchik says, in a totally different piece, that on Yom Tov the Jew goes to Hashem's house, but on Shabbos, Hashem comes to your house. Bo'acham l'shalom, malachei sharis. You stay in your own home. It's the culmination of the week that passed, and the beginning of the week that will be ahead. The whole week you were busy with planting and plowing and harvesting and grinding and baking and gathering. Shabbos is a respite from all that. Shavat means cessation, and it's preparation also for the week ahead. It is a combination of Ruchnis and Gashmias. That's what the last bracha is. That's what Shabbos is. That's what the last bracha is. Combination of Ruchnis and Gashmias. How many words in the last bracha? Seven. How many Alios on Shabbos? Seven. So that, everything that we just went through, besides for the points of tangent that I gave you, is from Parpaus, the Torah, quoting Rabbeinu B'chaya ben Asher, along with additional insights from Rabbi Zavlov. And then I brought you the Rav, and Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, etc. But I thought that was also so beautiful, this idea that three Gashmis, three Aliyos weekdays, five Ruchnias, five Aliyos Yamim Tovim, seven words, Shabbos, Ruchnias, and Gashmias, the seven Aliyos of Shabbos Kodesh, which is, of course, what we work the whole week for. Now, related to this idea about Shabbos, I now quote from another very, very great doctor and medical personality and Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, this is from a Sefer called the Shabbos Companion. He is 90 Svarim. I have like 15, I think, of the 90. Okay. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal would not buy a lot of Sfarim because he said, when I get to Shemayim, they're going to ask me, if you had so many Sfarim, why didn't you learn all of them? Okay. So Hashem should give me the Arichos Yamim Hashanim to learn through all the Sfarim that I have. So this is from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, called the Sefer, called the Shabbos Companion. And he quotes his Birkas Kohanim, okay? You have it on page 156. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, okay? Esther, you're not in school today. I just looked at my screen. Good morning. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, ya'er Hashem panei v'elecha v'chunecha, yisar Hashem panei v'elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. So what he does in the Sefer is he goes through different parts of the Shabbos, the Friday night, the davening, the smiros, the brachos, and he either tells you an insight or a vignette related to this insight. So he quotes the Birkas Kohanim, which is of course the topic of our Shia. And he tells as follows. The wife of Rabbi Daniel of Constantine was a tzadekes. She excelled in acts of chesed. Her husband was an accomplished scholar, well-to-do, and his wife managed all the affairs so that her husband could devote himself totally to Torah study. Although they employed help, Rabbi Daniel of Constantine's wife did the purchasing of Shabbos provisions herself. On every purchase, she would say, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. So some of you are nodding, something I try and do also. This is for the Holy Shabbos. She approached it's a good idea when you're doing whatever your mitzvah to doing to try and have in mind what mitzvah you're accomplishing. She approached the fish store, almost despairing of buying fish, because in the frigid winter, the lakes and rivers were frozen, and frozen fish, and therefore fish was a scarce commodity. But as she entered the fish store, her heart skipped a beat. She saw someone bringing in a large fish that he had caught while ice fishing. She cheerfully paid for the fish, and she said, "Thank you, Ribono Shel'olam, for answering my prayers that we should have fish for Shabbos. Now I pray that you should give us a guest for Shabbos, a Talmid Chacham, to grace our Shabbos table." In a nearby village, the tzaddik, Rabbi Yitzchak of Drobitz, was in the Beis Medrash, deeply engrossed in his Torah study. Abruptly he arose, he went home, and he said to his wife, "I must go to Constantine for Shabbos." "For what reason?" said the wife. "Why would you want to travel on a Friday, especially in the frigid weather?" Rabbi Yitzchak replied, "I don't know. I just know that I have to be in Constantine for Shabbos." The horse-drawn wagon stopped in front of Rabbi Daniel of Constantine's home. Rabbi Yitzchak of Drobitz alighted, entered the house, and he was warmly welcomed by the host. No one knew for what purpose Rabbi Yitzchak had come, and furthermore, his urge to come to Constantine was a mystery even to him. The Shabbos meals were spent with abundant divrei Torah, and mincha on Shabbos afternoon, Rabbi Yitzchak prayed fervently that Hashem should reveal to him why he had a mission in Constantine. It was revealed to him the prayers of the tzadekes, for a Torah scholar, remember this is under the Birkas Kohanim, Yar Shem Pana Veilecha Vichuneka, Yisa Shem Pana Veilecha, she davened for the light of Shabbos to be illuminated in her home. And it was revealed to him that it was the prayers of the tzadekes, the wife of Rabbi Daniel of Constantine, that caused him to be aroused to go there for Shabbos. When Rav Yitzchak took his leave after Shabbos, he thanked Rabbi Daniel of Constantine and his Rebbetzin, and then he said, "Please do not pray again for special Shabbos guests. It is a difficult trip for me to have to make." Okay. I want to quote from, the problem is I have a lot to quote from. I'm running out of time, so I have to see what I want to quote from that I'm going to be able to do it in time. I have 1 second, because I have a lot to tell you. Okay, I know what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to quote from Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables. He speaks about the introduction. We spoke about the final verse, the Samu Eshemi al Bnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. He spoke very strongly, hashkafically, about understanding that God is the source of blessing with a lot of application and relevance to our everyday lives. We started backwards, sort of. Well, we really started back in time in the First Temple period, that by Lord Jonathan Sacks and Micha's excursion to the Israel Museum. Then we went to the last blessing, understanding hashkafically va'ani avarchem, that God is the source. Then we went to the three stanzas of the Birkas Kohanim and understood their structure related to Yemos HaChol, Yemos HaChag, and Yom HaShabbos. And now to end, so this is, I think, perfect, to conclude, since we managed to touch upon all the aspects of Birkas, all the psukim, we go back to the first pasuk. And that is, Kosev Varchus B'nei Yisrael, so you shall bless the children of Israel, the Baal Anval B'nav Lemer, Kosev Varchus B'nei Yisrael, Amor Lahem. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables, the Menahel from Yeshiva of South Shore, he asks the following question: why do you need the words Amor Lahem? It's really, we all will also know that besides the fact that each letter is significant, like we learned, Beirach, is each word is double what comes before, which teaches that a blessing should be double and increase. So every word is also significant. So you don't really need a moral. It could just say, Kol Sivarach Us B'nei Yisrael, Yivarach Hashem V'yishmerecha, Ya'er Hashem Pa'na Ve'ilacha. Why do you need a moral? So he ends with a very beautiful verse. And I think this also relates to the concluding blessing, which is the blessing for shalom. How do we achieve shalom? V'yaseim lecha shalom. Okay, we want God to bless us with peace. How do we achieve peace? And I'm going to connect this to Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky's word into Amar Lahem. The Kohanim, besides for being Kohanim and priests who officiated in the temple, they were also the teachers of Israel. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yoru mishpatecha le'Yakov v'soraschal Yisrael, tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. At the end of Devarim, the Pasuk says, the Urim v'tumim, why it's backwards is not for now. Rav Shem Shem Falish has a beautiful answer on that. Tumecha v'urecha le'ish chasidecha. So who are Shevet Levi? They are the teachers. They have to be Yoru, Torah, Mora, Hora'ah, Yoru Mishpatecha Yaakov, V'soraschal Yisrael. Besides for being Kohanim who officiate, Shevet Levi, the Kohanim are also the model and the teachers of Torah for Knesset, so the spiritual leaders. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky asks, what do we learn from Amar Lahem? And he goes so far as to say, and I'm quoting from his Sefer, indeed the words speak to them, Amar Lahem, may be more important than the actual blessing. We have spent a lot, 56 minutes talking about lessons from the blessings, and I have probably a whole other class that I didn't even get to prepare. That's how much I prepared. But he proposes that the words Amar Lahem, quote, I'm on page 459 on Parsha Parables, the words speak to them may be more important than the actual blessing. That's the preceding. Now, the blessing comes from God. I'm going to explain what I think Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky means. Yivarechacha, Ya'er, Yisach, come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We spoke about that hashkafically and what that means. Amar Lahem comes from the Kohanim themselves. How should they speak to? How should any Jew speak to another Jew? How does a Torah teacher, a leader, speak to his charges? He always asks a question, which I paraphrased and embellished a little with my own insights and words. Then he answers with a parable. Then he gives the answer. I'm going to tell you the story he tells to answer this question. What do we learn from Amar Lahem? A short time after my family came to Woodmere, which is going back decades, a lovely young Israeli couple with two young children moved next door to us. After conversing with them, my wife and I realized they were not in the least bit observant in Jewish tradition. They never observed Yom Kippur, let alone Shabbos or Kashrus. The reason they moved from Israel to America is because Israel was becoming too religious for them. When my wife and I, while we felt a strong responsibility to bring these fine people closer to Torah, we didn't feel comfortable telling about them about laws they surely knew. If you come from Israel, you know Yom Kippur is. Whether you observe it or not is a different story, but in Israel, you know. Fortunately, Rav Shlomo Freifeld Zatzal, the great Rosh Hashiva, who brought thousands of people close to Torah, founder of Shar Yashar, Rosh Hashiva, lived in our neighborhood. I went to Rav Freifeld. I explained the situation. I said, Rabbi, what do you do to make someone from? He smiled. He put his large hand on my shoulder and he said, do absolutely nothing. Excuse me. I was shocked and confused. And he said, be a mensch. Never miss a good morning or a good afternoon. Make sure your lawn is neat. Your children are well behaved. Just be friendly. Make sure the name of Hashem is cherished through you. Follow that advice, he said, and you will not have to do a thing. Through you, they will come closer to Torah. We followed the advice. We invited the couple for meals. Our children played together. I talked politics with the husband. My wife discussed gardening. We spoke about everything except religion. I was shocked when in October, our neighbors asked us where the closest Beit Knesset was. They decided to go to Shul for Yom Kippur. I was even more surprised when days later they asked for my help in getting them and procuring and building a sukkah. I am sad to relate, eventually we lost our very good neighbors. After 5 years of living in the United States, they moved back to Israel. America was becoming too Gentile for them. Before it cites the actual blessings, the Torah teaches us the way to bring blessing to our fellow Jew. Amar Lahem. Yivarechacha, Ya'er, Yisrael are from God. The coin's simply a conduit. Yes, he has to believe Shalem, Bahava. We quoted Rashi way back in the beginning of this year. But he's a conduit for bracha. Don't confuse ritual with halacha and religion. He is not giving, he's giving the blessing, but God is the source. But amor lahem is the rule for the Kohen himself, and a lesson for all of us. How you speak, to whom you speak, what you say, the words you choose to use. Quote, indeed, the words amor lahem, speak to them, may be more important, I'm quoting, than the actual blessing. The famed Chafetz Chaim charged my wife's grandfather, Rav Lazer Levin, the Rav of Detroit, for 50 years. The Chafetz Chaim said, Rav Lazer, Gairet Sun Yidin. Rav Lazer, go speak to the Jews. When Hashem's name is placed upon his nation, then blessing is sure to follow. A smile, hello. He writes, Good Shabbos or Shabbat Shalom. He gives you both, whichever your text is. Maybe the key to forging a different attitude and otherwise skeptical Jews. To paraphrase an astronaut, one small word to man can produce giants for mankind. And Amor Lahem, it comes from the simple and sincere words of the lips and the smiles and the genuine heart. And I said I'm going to end with Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sacks, and I don't think I said Billy Nader. Quote, protection, grace, peace. These are God's, one second, protection, Yishmeracha, grace, Vichunaka, peace, Shalom. These are God's blessings communicated by the priest. We are what we pray for, says Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sacks. If you seek to understand the people, look at its prayers. The Jewish people did not ask for wealth. They did not ask for power. They did not hunger after empires. They had no desire to conquer or convert the entire world. They asked for protection, the right to live true to themselves without fear. They asked for grace, the ability to be an agent for good. They asked for peace, the fullness of being in which each one of us brings our individual gifts to the common good. That is all our ancestors prayed for, and it is all that we still need. Halavai, we should be zocha to see the Yasim, the Chasholim, and if you want to be see the amulet, you too can go to the Israel Museum, the archaeological wing, and you'll be fascinated. Thank you so much, everybody. Shabbat shalom to all. Have a wonderful day. Kol tov.